You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
Why can't you be a normal person with normal friends?
We'll have Scott.
You're stuck in the past, Kevin.
You got to stop it with all these Vikings and the ancient geeks.
Greeks.
As well.
Mom, my wardrobe's moving.
Whoa!
Hold on. How is he here?
What's going on?
Your room, it's a time egress.
He's never done that before!
And it allows us to travel throughout the universe.
Tell me who you are, or I will kill you.
I am Penelope, and I am, in effect, the leader. Well, fundamentally, though, we are all equal.
Who are you guys?
We're the Time Bandits, a crack team of expert thieves. Nothing is too big for us to steal. Oh, okay, now that we're close, maybe it is too big to steal.
You have a map that can take us through time. Wow, Mansa Musa, some people say you're even richer than Jeff Bezos from Amazon.
Wealthier than the mighty Jeff Bezos of the Amazon.
We have no knowledge of who that is.
That map cannot and must not fall into the wrong hands. I shudder to think what would happen.
Bring me that map.
With that,
I could create a universe of pure evil.
Stop laughing.
It's evil, therefore it's serious.
Return the map!
What did everyone steal? I got this beautiful vase.
Vase.
Hello.
Vase.
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 Everyone? Everyone got a vase?
Yeah.
Thank you all. For a brief moment in my life, I felt like I was part of a team.
Yes, okay. Let's take him home.
This isn't my house.
Yeah, it is. There's your family over there.
They're not my family.
But they look exactly like you.
This sounds like a family matter, and we should give them space.
Hey, welcome to the show. Welcome to Periodic Table of Awesome. Are you roaming around the world?
God, sure.
I wish.
No, you're just here. You're exactly where we've always been.
I could roam as I want to. I just would run out of money very quickly, and then, you know, that's it. Then I'd have to come back. Yeah, I don't have a map that allows me to travel through time and space. Or a magic box that allows me to travel through time and space. What is it with British people and wanting to travel through time and space?
Have you been to Britain?
Yes.
Like, there's a lot
you
of reasons
want to.
You want to be where you are.
Sure.
Any time you look at Britain and you're like, oh, you look out the window, it's raining again. You're like, I would like to go back in time to last Tuesday when it wasn't shit.
Really? Because I'm pretty sure it was shit last Tuesday.
Okay, right. This is why they've got such big dreams. Hi.
Hi.
How are you, Dion?
Hi, Jill. Hi.
Hello.
Most of evil that is next to me. Hi, group of ragtag band of people who travel through time and space and don't understand things. But that's okay. And hi to the chat. Hi, chat.
Hey,
hi, chat. We love you, chat.
Yeah. What are we talking about this week that we've decided to, well, we just, well, what was the trailer? I mean, obviously there was a trailer.
I was going to say, technically do we have to introduce it because we did just watch 2.5 minutes of trailer for it?
I'm slightly distracted, Quinny, because just there is a perfect halo of like a dark circle around your head where it hasn't quite kept up. So you have like this tiny afro.
That's because I'm evil.
Okay, right. Sorry, I was just, now that I've pointed out, everyone can look at it and be like, oh no.
yeah it's just my evil halo hanging out Beyonce style.
You're the evil one. Okay, fine. Serious. You have to be serious then.
yeah
for this entire podcast.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Sorry. I'm very sorry. Yes. I can't do fucking Jermaine Clement's voice. I don't know what's going on with that.
No, anyway. You're giving Patrick Stewart there.
It really was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's Quinny's curious.
My apologies to Patrick Stewart and Jermaine Clement.
Right.
Not happy about either of these things.
Time Bandits. That's what we're doing, isn't it? It's the Time Bandits. Is it the Time Bandits or just Time Bandits?
Yes.
Just Time Bandits.
Time Bandits. Not the just movie. We're not talking about the movie. We're talking about the TV show. The new TV show.
So I need to ask because I know that I have a very strange relationship with Time Bandits from 1981. Okay. But Jill, yeah, fucking oath. That's when you go, oh, Jesus. Yeah. Jill, do you have any knowledge or awareness of 1981's Time Bandits? And no, I know that you weren't born.
I was merely a glimmer in my mother's eye.
No. I like the idea that your
barely
father,
a thought in your head.
Your father had nothing to do with it. He's like, nah.
No. No, I was immaculately conceived.
Immaculately conceived. I'm pretty sure it would be immaculate. Like, how was that? Immaculate. Done.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am immaculate.
You are. Look at you.
No, I have never seen original Time Bandits, and I'm assuming it's based off a book, and I have not read that either. Not based off a book?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, you say Terry Gilliam, and I just assume it's a book.
Terry Gilliam wasn't able to get his shit together for Brazil. So in the interim, he did a family friendly film called Time Bandit. Okay. Yeah, right. I know, right?
Yeah, family friendly ish.
Yeah,
because like in typical Terry Gilliam fashion, the film itself is really weird and dark and quite bizarre.
It's still the same sort of conceit.
It is. Mm. It's exactly the same conceit, in fact, in that a kid has a portal through the multiverse or whatever in his wardrobe and a bunch of thieves bust in. But the thieves from the original are all people of short stature. It's just got a much more Gilliam vibe. It's really fucking weird.
Yeah.
And as they travel through time and everything, they run into a whole bunch of very, you know, famous characters and stuff. And so you've got, like, John Cleese as Robin Hood. Sean Connery, I think, is Ajax?
No, he's Agamemnon.
Agamemnon, that's right. Yes. Yeah. And it's just weird. It's this sort of odd rollicking kind of adventure thing where they just keep falling into different time periods. And in that sense, TV show kind of does that.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't know. Well, do you want to do a synopsis, Quinny, to let people know about what the TV show is about or how are we going for this today?
Yeah. Look, we'll do a synopsis, but I feel like we've kind of just covered it. And this is the only music that I can find, which is from the original film. So, and it comes with a lovely picture of the map. There we go. Young history buff Kevin can scarcely believe it when six... Hang on, this is the film.
What God is this slideshow? I didn't need a PowerPoint presentation.
This is a weird map. I don't know.
I'm down. I'm down for this.
PowerPoint.
No, keep going.
It's the music.
Keep going, Quinny. Keep going. Keep going with the synopsis.
Young history buff Kevin can scarcely believe it when six dwarfs... No, this is from the 1981 film. One night. I grabbed the one that said it was the Time Bandit synopsis. God damn it.
It's the dark evil. Look, the dark evil is on screen.
Yeah. Former employees of the Supreme Being, they've purloined a map charting all of the holes in the fabric of time and are using it to steal treasures from various historical eras. Taking Kevin with them, they variously drop in on enter things that don't happen in this series here.
Sure.
But yes, basically the premise is exactly the same, and I'm really glad that music didn't go for as long as I thought it did.
Cool. That's right. We got to see some of. We got to see in that clip some of space.
Just space. I looked up the music. I was like, "This is the other music that I could find."
The perils of linking to content instead of checking content.
Oh no, I looked at it. I just didn't see that it only ran for fucking a bit. God damn it!
Yeah, Kevin chilling out, sitting in his bedroom, suddenly gets busted in on by a bunch of people who are thieves, apparently, and then they sort of end up adopting him reluctantly on their adventures.
You know, funnily enough, the synopsis for the 2024 version is significantly shorter and tells you even less. So go figure.
It's an interesting TV show. And No, settle down. If you've only watched this because you've just watched the first episode, I'm sorry. First episode as well didn't grab me, but it requires a few to get into where you're going. It requires a little bit of, you know.
I can appreciate that because as somebody that only watched the first 20 minutes before switching it off, I like looking at the trailer, I'm like, I feel like there would be value there if I just persevered.
Yeah. It's like, to me, one of the things that it struck me was like when I remember watching Time Bandits as a child, I was like, this is not really for me. It's a bit weird and I don't really get it. Because I didn't really associate with Kevin the child as being someone fun, but
it's got a really it's got a deep undercurrent of fucking weird horror.
Yeah, yeah, and I think like after I have seen all four. Wait, quick hands up, who saw all four so far? Okay, 3, 2. Quinny got 3, and Jill 20 minutes.
Yeah,
20 some minutes. Some off, right. Some off part. Yep. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So it does require a little bit of stick withedness, but I did actually really like it once I understood that this is literally it's a kids show. It's not really for adults. It is a kids show.
It is. And that's kind of why I turned it off. I'm like, wow, this is giving me, I'm 14 years old watching ABC Afternoon Kids TV, but Scott with Wonder? Infinitely more money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not me, the production.
Yeah.
I do have infinitely more money than when I was 14, but so does this show.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny, like... Tari at one point made mention of that. She said, said something about, I thought you meant Spellbinder. And I'm like, actually, that's a real good touch point.
Yeah. Spellbinder is a cool thing. Not as horrific, though, because like without the jokes in this, it can get a little scary for kids. I feel like this is one of those TV shows that you could quite say to someone who watched it when they were young and then grow up and say, hey, remember Time Bandits? And they're like, yeah, that fucking fucked me up, man. Like,
yeah.
There were bits in that that are a bit too scary.
I got like, okay, so to explain what happened, I remember watching Time Bandits at a friend's place, or like I was being babysat one night, and they put it on because it was a kid's film. And like there's a fucking real weird undercurrent of strange horror shit all the way through it. Like you've got these weird little dudes who are being chased by a floating head of God. Who, like, in this one, it looks like a big stone thing. In that one, it's just this fucking terrifying animation of a floating head that's yelling. And then they go into various different time periods. At one point, they go into, like, the labyrinth on Minos. And somebody ends up fighting the Minotaur, but the Minotaur has a dead bull's head. Like, it's fucked up.
Like a traditional Minotaur.
And then at the end... There are these giant fucking 7-foot-tall monsters with sheep skulls for heads, and they like just start bursting through walls, and it is nightmare fuel. It is fucking 100% nightmare fuel.
Bill's character, Quinny.
Yes. Leave me the man I am today.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody in their 40s has childhood trauma.
Yep, exactly. If kids aren't getting trauma from content, I don't know why we make it. Why are people making it? Who knows why they're making it? But yeah, I kind of...
Fred Kanger asked the question, is hell part of the original? And yes.
Yeah, kind of. Evil. Evil?
David Warner, who played Ra's al Ghul in the animated series of Batman, was the ultimate evil.
That's a deep cut, Quinny.
Fucking hope it is.
David Warner, like, apart from the rest of his acting.
Yeah, but I'm just playing for the people that I know care.
It's catering to our audience.
Yeah, apart from everything else, I'm going to reference some voice work he did for a cartoon. Specifically.
Yes, because it's what he's good at.
Yeah, yeah. Mark Hamill, his only job ever was the Joker.
It's the only one that mattered.
Hey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, you were saying Beyond Detroit. Anyway. Totally fucking derailed you.
No. I'm fine with it. Like, it took a while. Like, I have to admit, the first episode is a bit of a tough sell because I didn't quite get it. And it was nice seeing a few people that like popping up in this. There's a lot of Australian talent and New Zealand talent that's in there. Mm. The New Zealand talent, I think I've seen a lot.
Three.
Yeah, the New Zealand talent I've seen a lot of because it's kind of Taika Waititi's best hits. He just grabs all the people that he knows and chucks them in there, and off he goes. But over the course of it, I was like, I know that person. I know that person. I know that person. I know that person. I look forward to seeing that in the rest of the series, and hopefully they continue it through. And I think by the time it hit three and maybe possibly four, it's starting to find its feet really well now, and you're starting to understand some things.
I'm with Kevin. Because, like, episode one and two, I was like, I'm not really feeling this. And even the characters, like the actual thieves themselves, like their personalities, I'm like, I don't quite know what you're doing with this, guys. Kevin's fucking annoying. Like, there's a lot of things that you're like, fuck, this is a tough watch.
But you know what? He's catered to a very certain, very specific child. And I think those are the types of children that would really dig this show.
Yeah.
But I don't know how on board they can get with a character that would be exactly like them without realizing that, oh, I'm a bit shit.
I think one of the things I like about the TV show over the film kind of stuff is the continuance of Kevin's sister involved in the show now, which is kind of fun because Kevin's sister, who's, you know, I won't get too far into it, but like Kevin's sister ends up going through time, but not with Kevin, so she's kind of backtracking, trying to find him. So that's kind of fun too because she's like her parents, you know, very superficial.
Did you get to meet the parents much, Jill? Because
I thought they were freaking hilarious.
I just love the bit where it's like, Kevin, do you think you could play more video games? Like,
talking like, to each other on their phones while they're sitting next to each other. And
and then I think it's episode two that they get turned into a piece of coal. I was like, I'm down with that.
Yeah.
It seemed just desserts.
From like a freaky fucking demon.
Mm.
Yeah, like, I mean, this is back to the thing where it's the demons are funny. This is just, Jermaine Clement is funny. Like, it's supposed to look scary, but they talk, so it's kind of funny. But then they start doing things which are not funny, and, like, this is kind of horrific. And this, you know, glowing eyes, busting into your family home, tearing shit up, kind of a bit scary for kids.
Can you guys answer a question for me?
Sure.
With the team of the Time Bandits, is there any more kind of like play and banter between the characters, or does Lisa Kudrow just completely annihilate all of them in every scene that she's in?
Dion, you want to take it?
Sorry, who are the Time Bandits?
Right, okay. Yeah. That answers that question.
I mean,
they get their times to shine. Here and there.
Somewhat, but they start, this is the thing, it's always hard with an ensemble cast that you have to, like, they have to get their time to explain why they're there and what they're actually doing and what their point is and then be able to do it. So, like, sure, it does take a little while, but eventually, kind of like, now I understand who they are separately. So by episode four, I was like, okay, no, I recognize why you're hanging around now. Okay, I see, great, no worries.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the characters that you sort of got to get introduced to, like, you get little moments for each of them, and then as things go on, you get more for each until you're like, oh, okay, well, I know basically who they are now. And yeah, I think also Kudrow does kind of back it off a little bit. Because, yeah, in the first couple of episodes, she's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's a lot. It's always hard for a pilot. You don't know really what's going on. But yeah, I think by the time that they start hitting their stride and more things are in there and you start to understand the plot of it. I mean, first up, it's a difficult sort of premise. Why are they going through this? Are they going through because they're trying to steal things? Yes, but they don't know what they're stealing. Okay, this is an interesting kind of point of difference.
Yeah, so, they're just very specially dumb.
Yeah, and kind of, I kind of want that. And then we get to see a little bit more about it. You get to see more of the denizens of hell-ish, and then you get to see the people who are running heaven, which I think is a slow burn, but much more fun, and hopefully goes to solve some of the problems of production that this one has obviously faced. Hey, did you see that?
What do you mean obviously faced? That sounds like tea, Dion.
Did you see that Apple has reined in its spending on its film and television production because they said it was too expensive? So they're not greenlighting everything as much anymore.
You think this is why?
No, I don't think. I don't because, like, you know, let's just be honest. Apple's quality has always been kind of really high, but yeah, it's not really a sustainable kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Like, this one has that weird feeling of being, as like you said, Jill, a kids show with a crazy ass budget. Like, you know, their locations and sets and everything are really well done. And then when they do their special effects are really well done, unless they're meant to be shit. Right. You know, like God shows up and he's wearing his Zardoz head, and that's meant to be kind of shit. But then there's a bit in one of the episodes where a pterodactyl, one of those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's pronounced pterodon.
Ah, sorry. A pterodon shows up and, you know, fucks up some stuff. And it's like, shit, somebody spent a lot of money on that effect.
I don't remember any pterodons. I do remember a couple of dragons, though. Yes.
It was a wyvern.
Yeah.
Totally. 100%.
You've just seen a bunch of skulls.
People
together.
Show up from you know, What We Do in the Shadows or Our Flag Means Death, and you're like, oh, okay, right. I'm down for this.
It's the greatest hits of Taika Waititi's crew of people that he's worked on in previous Taika Waititi based productions. That's okay.
Okay.
We're all allowed a certain amount of nepotism. People are allowed to
have
work.
Can't get mad at that.
No.
Yeah.
Lisa Kudrow is kind of the biggest American voice in the production, which is fine. But then there's also just a bunch of people that you're like, really? You again? Kind of. It's like, oh, you're in this again. Okay, fine. No worries.
Yeah.
But, you know, kudos. Like, do work. Get paid.
Yeah. The weird demon that's chasing them through all history is Fiona or Fiona? Fiona?
Fiona?
Fiona. And that's
Fiona.
Rachel House.
Yeah, right.
You know, one of those people that she's probably not even in the suit, but her voice is so familiar. You're like, oh yeah, that's Rachel House. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Is it good though? That's the question.
Is that what we're getting to? Yeah, sure. Are we gonna rate this? How are you going? Actually, you know what? First, judgment, Jill. Please deliver judgment. I think you should go first. Because you've seen one.
Judgy Jill.
Let's go. The amount of episodes watched first and then and then judgment.
20 minutes of episode one.
Yeah.
didn't vibe. Might give it another crack. I'll finish the episode and see how we go. Only because, like, the cast is maybe kind of, like, dragging me back. And maybe the opportunity to see a bit more historical figures would be fun. So I'm going to give it another shot.
Yeah,
nice. Do you want to put a number or are you just not?
No. I think I should.
It's unfair. Yeah,
it's completely
unfair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jill's TBC out of 100.
Exactly.
Right.
Sure.
I'll come back to you.
Quinny, you're the next one. No, you're the next one now because you've only watched 3 episodes and I've done 4.
Oh, shit, right, okay.
I'm the supreme being in this one.
You are. Sorry, I'll change my name in a second. I think one of the like, if you'd asked me at the end of the first episode, I would have been like, oh, fuck, this is tank. This is shit. like, by the end of the first episode, I think it's where they've brought in, like, they show Taika Waititi and, like, as God and everything. And I was like, fuck, this is going to annoy the shit out of me. like, there's something about him at the moment when he's just doing his, hey, I'm really funny and I'm just throwing things around and I'm just doing something funny and that just drives me fucking spare.
The charm's worn off.
Oh, the bloom is off the fucking whatever. Because, yeah, I was just like, oh, that's just grating with me. But second episode, third episode, I was kind of like, look, there's actually something quite funny here. And there's some really fun ideas. And by the time episode three rolled around, I was like, fuck, Kevin's actually getting some funny lines. And, you know, Sean McAuliffe's wandering around having a great time.
Yep.
Oh, and I was like, Sean McAuliffe. Yeah. And I was like, I'm kind of like, I'm ambivalent towards Sean McAuliffe, but he was having so much fun here. I couldn't get out, couldn't argue with it. So by that point, I'm about, I don't know, 60, I'm going to say 66 it.
66?
Oh.
Oh. That's all right. That's better than, like, you know, I wouldn't give 66 for the first episode. No. I'd be sitting around low 20s for that one. But like having, yeah, I kind of, as you go through and you start to understand what is, and you do have to listen to the writing. And I think this is the thing that I got when I was watching it, which is after the first episode, I was like, this is just for kids. Like this is literally your afternoon show kind of style television show that you would watch as a child, but it's too fucking long, you know, because they're really long episodes. Each one's like 45 minutes. Like it's very long. So it doesn't quite fit with that genre. But then as you start going and watching it through a little bit more, yeah, you do get people dropping in to do sort of bit part stuff. And I'm like, this is great. And then you start to see more about what's going on in heaven and you start to see more about what's going on in hell. And they have different individual characters in there, which is a little bit more interesting. And even though, you know, you start to go, oh, this is good. And then, yeah, you're right, Quinny. Some lines come in that are really funny or situations that come up. Because one of the fun things about the Time Bandits or the people who are running around is they don't have any frame of reference for anything of the times that they're dropping in. They don't know what is valuable or what is not valuable. They're kind of, you know, beings outside of time, which is so strange because, you know, one's a Viking, one's dressed like a peasant, one's a, like, looks like a Scottish pirate. Like all these kinds of, you think that this
with an accent that just fucking flies all over the shop.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So you think that they are, but I think like they're actually, you know, outside of time people. So that starts to make a bit more sense because, you know, they just turn up and they're like, I don't know what that is. What did you do? Oh, you've stolen something really important. What was it? It's an avocado. No one cares. You know, they don't know what is important. So that is gets to a little bit funny. And, yeah, Kevin is actually funny because now I understand, apart from the first episode, he's a history buff. He's really nerdy in that way. He's read a lot of books. So he's standing in those situations going, I know what this is. I could solve this problem, but no one pays any attention to him because he's a kid. So he's just kind of like, yeah, it's true. I'm just a kid. I don't really know what I'm doing. But then he'll say something and people are like, oh, right, I should do that. You know.
And also I like the fact that occasionally like he's like, yeah, no, this is, I've read all about this. I know the history. And then he's just 100% wrong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. just because history is wrong and it's too far away and it's only written by people who are guessing.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny.
Like, we know what the Mayans do. The Mayans do like sacrifices and gut people and stuff. The Mayans are like, who told you that?
Yeah, who told you that? We don't do that. We don't do any of that stuff. Anyway, look, after four episodes, I probably do want to watch it, but I think it's just very long, so I kind of want to background watch it. So that's where I think it lost points. Yeah. I'm going to give it a 70. It's got a lot of production value. The people in it are trying real hard. I think the script is actually pretty good, but it is basically Taika doing Taika, and I think at its heart, it's a kid's show.
Yeah.
That's what I think of that.
That seems quite reasonable.
Sure. And I hope it gives some kids nightmares because, you know, they all need a bit of toughening up these days. Kids are too soft. Got my granddad
just
jumping
waiting for these fucking terrifying things to come out of a closet somewhere. Like, yeah. I'll find pictures for you. They're fucked up. They're like 7 foot tall things. They've all got weird bone hooks for hands. And when they touch people, they explode.
Yeah. It's sounding like Return to Oz levels of
it is. It's the right sinus. Up there with Return to Oz horror.
I do love that. I do love that the TV show kind of has kept that nature. Like, it's like actually Time Bandits is a bit scary. Like, that's part of the point of growing up. It's like, yeah, I would aim this at tween audiences.
Okay.
You know,
which is a tough one because it's like, okay, we're going to aim this at tween audiences who will have never seen the original film. We'll have no fucking basis for anything to go on with this.
Yeah, but their mum and dads might say, what are you watching? They're like, Time Bandits. They're like,
yeah, good point. Well made.
Oh, it's that actor from Friends. Maybe I'll watch that a bit. I like it. It's kind of bonkers anyway.
Yeah, it is weird and bonkers and strange. And
not as bonkers as Gilliam. Not as far bonkers.
No. Do we want to have a quick clip of it and then we can come back and talk about some other stuff?
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Yeah, nice.
I need to get out of the thing is too hot.
Come on, help me get it off.
Okay, 1, 2, 3.
Oh. Thank you. Oh, I've had a hell of a day. Those bandits got away again.
Oh, what?
Yes. Platypus.
Yes, keep the platypus. I love a platypus. I need that map back. Those bandits are traveling through time and not locking portals.
Beat Nana?
Which means? Which means that the doors are flapping open willy-nilly all over the place.
Today's prayer, sir?
No, I'm sorry. I'm not out of time like this. Helen! An open portal could lead to all sorts of disastrous things like anachronisms and paradoxes and anomalies. Anomalies.
That sounds bad. How about I have a cherub spice?
I'd love a cherub spice.
Here you go, sir. This will help calm you down.
Yeah.
See, at least some of that is funny. Like, you know, it's like, yeah, beat Nana? Like, no.
Yeah.
That's just weird.
Yeah.
Love the platypus. Keep that in. I mean, to say something a little bit more about Time Bandits is like, it's also having a little bit of controversy that's going on about it because it's Terry Gilliam's not a fan, did not like the production very much. It has been dragged for the apparent lack of short stature actors in the show, and I think that's because they're not the main cast, but there are a lot of short stature actors in the show as it's progressing, which, you know, I'll leave that.
We just saw.
Yeah, I'll leave that up to them to talk about that kind of stuff as well, as well as a couple of the controversies which you can go looking at if you really want to. But I'm not sure how well it's going to be received. Also, how many kids these days have Apple TV Plus as part of their thing and have 45 minutes attention span? I'm not sure that that's.
I mean, some rich mum and dad probably has it.
Yeah, well,
that's probably all that they watch.
Well, on their iPhone. On their brand new iPhone. Oh, we've gone back to the judgmental part now. God damn, these days
we're still judging Jill.
Yeah.
So I wanted to know, we're not doing the spoiler thing. There is nothing to be spoiled here. No. I don't think there's anything that we could spoil if we tried, to be honest.
No, we've got better things to talk about, which is other stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the question is, what have you all been watching and talking about this week? What I want to know, what's been happening? What have you got to tell me? Jill!
Me. Oh, I've been watching The Caped Crusader.
Fuck yes!
Which is the new Batman animated series Prime.
For a second there, I was like, wait, The Caped Crusader these days could mean a lot of things.
Amazon Prime can go fuck itself and jump off a cliff whilst burning because I'm so sick of these fucking commercials. How dare you ask me to pay you more money to get rid of commercials when you're a fucking streaming service? You shouldn't have them in the first place.
Yeah, but
your whole concept and basis for making money is from the subscription of your subscribers. So don't make them watch commercials and don't put them in the middle of a 20-minute episode.
Jill.
Just bookend it. Make it an unskippable ad at the bookend.
These penis rockets Jeff Bezos is building do not come cheap. They need every single dollar they can get to do the
big. But if you put four commercials, two at the front, two at the back, make them so you can't skip it, fine. But not in the middle of the episode.
Even
if they did, can I just say this? Even if they did, put them where they're fucking meant to be in the episode, because the episodes still have act structures.
In the middle of dialogue, someone's talking and it gets cut off. I'm like, what just happened? Did my screen lag? Like, what's going on? I look up and there's a fucking Woolworths ad.
Yeah. It just does my head in that, like, these shows are designed still to go on commercial TV. They still have the ad break slots in them, and they're not fucking
It's almost them. Like they're recreating television.
But worse.
No, they're doing all the same things that used to happen in television.
Yeah. And you get the same fucking ad three times in a row.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I encourage anyone to not pay extra for that shit because that shouldn't happen.
I'm not gonna give them the satisfaction of more of my money.
No.
Yeah.
I already have two fucking extensions of Prime that, Christ.
I mean,
that's
But fair. Anyway, that being said, the cartoon itself is actually quite good. They're shaking things up a bit. They've diversified characters. They've altered characters, methodologies and such. I don't mind some of the changes. Yeah. I thought a female penguin was a weird one, but whatever.
Oswalda?
Didn't bother me that much, but
Minnie Driver doing the voice, so I was like, oh, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I was like, okay. Yeah, it's probably better than a Colin Farrell, Tony Soprano-esque penguin, to be honest.
I don't know. I'm going to go watch that show. The Penguin series, and I'm like, that actually looks pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Sopranos with superheroes, but, like, Oswald Cobblepot, not an Italian from Long Island. Like, what are we doing?
Good point, well made.
Hey,
Cobblepot's not a well-known Italian family name.
I did enjoy the new spin on Harley Quinn, though.
Yeah, very much so. Really liked
it. I liked it.
Like the design, but also like that she's finally been kind of pulled out of the whole Joker thing.
And
is now very much her own character.
There's no trace of Joker in this show so far.
Nope.
And I'm digging that.
Yeah. And I loved some of the characters that they chose to use. So, like, we've got, as you say, Harley, but one of the characters that they've brought in that I was like, oh, big choice, is Onomatopoeia, who is a fairly new character, I guess, from the comics, basically he just says all of his own sound effects. But when well written, that's creepy as fuck. And really cool.
I hope they're all the Batman ones, like piff and splam.
I mean, it did give Batman an opportunity to say his own pow. So I was like, fuck yeah. I just love the design ethic of it. I'm so down for that.
It's really harkening back to old animated series. I mean, sure. Bruce Timm is working on it. It's definitely got a touch of the Batman because Matt Reeves is involved. And I'm kind of digging. I'm digging the Batman. I love that they've gone with, like, the original comic costume, which is really slick. It's pretty cool.
There's elements to it that I love, like the sound design as well. Like the fact that the Batmobile very clearly has a sound mix that includes multiple animals in its roars. I was like, oh yeah, fuck yeah, I'm on for that.
Oh. So what is it? What's it called? No, the Caped Crusader.
Yeah, right, Batman Caped Crusader.
Oh. Good.
Sadly, there's only 10 episodes of it so far, and by the looks of it, we're gonna be waiting quite a while for the next season.
Yeah. What about Commandos?
That will be out long before the next season of Caped Crusader. So a little bit of the history of Caped Crusader. This was originally meant to go on to HBO Max, And like as a part of the whole DC deal. And Zaslav went, nah, we don't want it. Well, so typical. In the middle of production, they literally just threw it out and went, oh, we don't want the fucking thing. And Amazon Prime said, sorry, what? You've got the spiritual successor to Batman the Animated Series made by Bruce Timm? Yeah. Yeah, we'll give you some money.
Sure. I mean, cool.
Silly.
I can't get excited about stupid decisions being made, but I'm just happy people can see it. That's great.
Yes.
What else is coming up? Well, what are we doing this month? Why don't we talk about what's happening this month? We did Time Bandits. What's next week?
That's a very good question. I don't have
Alien Romulus.
Fuck's sake.
Oh yes.
Romulus. And then, you know, in 3 years we'll get Remus. and then we'll get Alien the Roman Empire, which will just merge the two like loves of.
And I'm sure I'll be thinking about the Alien Roman Empire every day of my life.
Exactly. Which is exciting because there's no show next Tuesday, there's a show next Wednesday. So just remember that, everyone. We're doing the show next Wednesday, and then we're doing Sunny, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't started Sunny yet. I need to get onto Sunny. That's on Apple TV.
I'm liking Sunny.
Yeah.
Okay.
Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It's just a show called
Sunny. Because I will never watch that.
Yeah, you won't. You can't handle the 14 seasons of it, Quinny.
No, I really can't.
16 seasons.
I'm trying to make it easier for you.
They're in my never watch pile.
Yeah. Cooney can't even do 6 seasons of Park and Rec. Like,
thank you, Pretty Kanga, for mentioning that. I Saw the TV Glow is not currently out yet, but it is coming out soon in limited release as a horror one. I think one of us can go and see that one. That should be fun.
Yes. And then at the end of the month, we're looking to have a look at doing The Crow.
Now, depending on how I feel or we feel about that or what we go, like, it could be the original Crow with Brandon Lee. Dependent.
Hey, we could look at the entire Crow series if we wanted to.
Yeah, God, was
there? By which I mean the Crow TV series.
There was a Crow. There was, wasn't there?
There was, with Mark Dacascos as the Crow.
Oh, Dion's favorite.
I know.
I love Mark Dacascos.
Me too.
Does he do the splits?
Yeah. That's a lot of capoeira for a Crow, that's for sure.
Still the favorite, my favorite line from the original Crow movie, which is like, car, car, bang, fuck, I'm dead. That's a great line.
Is a beautiful moment in the TV series where, like, it's all shot at daylight because they didn't have the budget to do night shoots. All shot in Vancouver.
They didn't have the budget for a light,
yeah.
So they did it in the day.
And just darkened.
And at
it
one
up.
Point, like he does one of the lines out of the first film, but I've never seen anyone unact a line.
Sometimes you're just contractually obligated to turn up and do the shoot, and then get off the set as quickly as possible because you said yes to it, and they won't, and you've already taken the money.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Predacanker says Kraven the Hunter is this month. Is it, though?
I don't think it is. I think it's at the end of the month, which is why it's not technically this month, or it might be right towards the end.
Yeah, there's a heap of stuff at the end of the month that we kind of wanted to look at. Like, there's the Terminator anime. There's a bunch of stuff that's all happening right at the end.
Yeah.
That we'll probably... It means we're going to have a busy September, but our August was a little bit light on.
No, Kraven the Hunter isn't out this month. It's the 12th of December, according to the Sony Pictures film release schedule that was emailed out today.
That sounds like something got bumped and then got bumped and then got bumped.
They've got so much faith in that film.
Yeah.
So much faith.
Yeah, that's what that one says. It's actually going to be after Venom the Last Dance, which comes out apparently on the 24th of October. So, yeah, there you go.
I'm hoping that in some way, shape, or form, they can do kind of like, you know, an end to the Sony Marvel Universe in much of the same way that Deadpool and Wolverine gently but firmly closed the door on the Fox X-Men universe. I would like Sony to gently but firmly close the coffin on the...
Do you know what, like, just really cracks me up about the title of this film? Is that it's also what the final Magic Mike film was called.
It was Magic Mike The Last Dance was the final film in that trilogy. So, like, are we trying to, like, draw comparisons?
Because that's not a thing you want to be compared to, especially not now that we've had our boy Channing Tatum doing his thing.
Spoilers. Oh, wait, we did that last week.
Yeah, we did that. We're fine.
You mean our boy Channing Tatum?
I watched it again. Hey, there's a line in there that
Tari.
I...
Sorry, don't forget Tari's trying to wait till streaming.
Oh, fuck, sorry. I shot out of my daddy's dick ready. What?
Yes. Sorry about that. Look. Hey, I don't know who's wrong. If someone's got it in their cinema, is that Kraven the Hunter's coming out this month, and Sony's sending emails? They don't know. Maybe no one knows. Maybe someone at that cinema has it. You know, already.
And if Kraven the Hunter is coming out this month, we will travel to Chilora or wherever the fuck you are just to watch that piece of shit.
Yeah.
Dion, do you have anything that you wanted to show the class?
Yes. Talk to the class about? Okay. Yes, I wanted to talk about all of the Terry Gilliam films from start to finish. Oh. And I have a PowerPoint presentation for everyone.
Oh,
so strap good. In. It's 45 minutes long. All right, and we're gonna first.
Sorry, that sounds like the first episode of Animates again.
No, I was gonna. Oh, okay. No, I actually don't. I'm just looking forward to the rest of this month and stuff. I'm really looking forward to going to see Alien Isolation. Wait, I mean Alien.
I think that's a Freudian slip happening there, Dale.
No, really looking forward to going seeing Alien. Resuscitation.
Weird that they're going with like Roman names, and then Prometheus was like a Greek name. So like they're just kind of like mixing it up,
throwing it at the wall, see what sticks.
No consistency.
Just remember, there's still a TV show coming, like Noah Hawley. You know Noah Hawley. He does kind of great TV shows of everything. He's doing an alien television show. So that's still coming, but hopefully this will be tide us over to do and maybe give some of the scary back into it.
It does look that way.
But I like the you blow and I'll do the fingering. Do you remember that line from Prometheus?
Yes. And it's technically
the greatest double entendre that ever entendre.
And it's technically masturbation because it's the same guy.
Yes.
It's just Michael Fassbender saying, "So have you ever heard of a rusty flute?" Did you see any of the marketing that has been going for Romulus?
No.
At all?
No.
Okay. I saw something just today.
Oh, wait. The popcorn bucket that looks like a BBD.
That wasn't the one I was talking about, but yes, it does.
That's just everyone's doing
if
that
you
now.
The sandworm was the pinnacle. Wait until you see that the alien head actually fits into the sandworm mouth.
You can talk to people about the birds and the bees and show them with utter horror.
Yeah. Forget bananas and condoms. This is going to be in the new sex ed classes.
So the great thing about that is that people looked at the alien head and went, oh, it is a dick, and it always was. Shit.
Yeah.
If you've ever picked up a Geiger art book, you learn anatomy very quickly.
It was always a dick.
When a xenomorph encounters a shy halud.
They love each other in a very special way. Yeah. The water of life goes into one, and then...
Look, we don't need to go into this euphemistic stuff.
The thing that I saw today that was pretty fucked up, their marketing thing in New York, I think it must have been over the weekend, they just had a whole bunch of people around the streets of New York with face huggers on their faces.
Love
like
it.
Just passed out on the ground with face huggers pulsing on their faces.
Oh, love it. I'd volunteer to be one of those people. It's hilarious.
And I know, right? And then one dude staggers out and has a full chest burst.
Oh, I would have paid to have been there.
I know, right? I was like,
why can't we have these kind of activations? I want that kind of stuff. Like, why? Well, yeah, let's do that. Let's do a chest burster. All right, let's fucking do a chest burster. Nice.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's fucking put it into the fucking world. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, yeah. Just make it happen. Yes.
Mm. It's very, very entertaining. And I'm very keen for that one. So that'll be next week. Yay.
Great.
You don't want to talk about Terry Gilliam, all their films? Or
I just have the rest of the stuff. I can't remember everything that's gone past is past now. I'm just looking forward to the future, you know. Just do you want to talk about current events? Do you want to talk about anti-capitalism?
No.
Do you want to talk about the threat of imminent war? Do you want to know all the horrors in the world? What about nice things like puppies and rainbows? No?
Yeah, I could spend the next hour talking about WWE and how I have fallen down a hole of watching wrestling twice a week.
Really?
Really. I have become the person that I berated for probably half my life, more than half of my life.
Right.
Of saying, why do you watch wrestling? It's all fake. It's all stupid. That's dumb. Right. And I got to tell you, it's probably in its best era right now, and I'm so on board, and I just watched the SummerSlam on the weekend, and when it finished, I went into a major depressive episode. I wasn't even sure I was going to come on the show tonight because I was just so mentally drained and, like, emotionally exhausted after watching it.
I mean,
I'm so invested in these characters and these stories.
I love when people find something that they used to not like. It's like me with Fast and Furious. Yeah. I used to like actively go, stop watching Fast and Furious. And now, like, no, I see it now. I've come through. And now you're the same with WWE. Yeah.
I'm the same with wrestling now. I've got my favorites and I'm like, I'm in for the drama and the smack talking. And it's great. And the way that they solve their arguments is with body slams and suplexes. And like, that's how all arguments should be solved, in my opinion.
I figure that it's a little bit like a musical, but in a musical, when the emotion is too big for mere words, they must sing. In wrestling, when the emotion is too big for mere words, they must wrestle.
Oh, yeah.
Or smash a chair over someone's back or something.
Go through the Spanish announcers table.
Yeah. Yes, always the Spanish. Yes.
It's always the Spanish announcers table.
No one ever expects the Spanish announcer.
his main weapons are care.
But honestly, if anybody in the chat is like into wrestling and wants to just like talk about SummerSlam, I'm so ready for.
Do you
for
need
chat.
A, do you need a new Facebook group?
Yeah, maybe
SummerSlams.
TPTOAWWE.
Karina has got some hot opinions about Trap, the new M. Night Shyamalan film.
Oh, as I started watching that trailer and I'm like, I bet he's the serial killer.
Bam, straight away.
But I think that was in the trailer because the trailer I saw.
It was like... in the trailer, but I picked it before they revealed that in the trailer. But that's just classic Shyamalan.
Yeah.
What was the last one I watched? Knock at the Cabin was terrible. Old was good. If you want to watch something that was so shit but like can't take your eyes off it because it's so fucking hilarious, watch Old.
I just get up in the morning.
Give it 100 because it was so fucking dumb and I loved every minute of it.
Well, that's a big call, but like if I want to watch Old, I just get up every morning and look in the mirror.
Yeah, look in the fucking mirror.
Just go,
I went to bed feeling like I could do stuff and now
it was M. Night Shyamalan aging me all along. What a twist.
What a twist. I think it'd be great if people have seen things that we haven't seen, we're probably not going to cover. Feel free to write in like and give us small reviews that we can read out and stuff. Because I'd love to know more about your thoughts on things like Trap, which I've heard is essentially a backdoor pilot for M. Night Shyamalan's daughter's band.
Great.
I saw another trailer for a new Channing Tatum movie called Blink Twice, and it's written and directed by Zoe Kravitz, and that looks good.
That does look good. I saw the trailer and I was like, fuck, that looks pretty
I've got something
cool.
Different to talk about. I just thought of something. There you go. Here's something we're going to bring to the table now that we're just talking about random stuff. Do you know what's fun that I want to do, which is Dungeons & Dragons Lego minifigs? I want to collect them all. So if anyone wants to trade them, yeah, you just message the Periodic Table of Awesome and be like, yeah, I've got this and this and I've got this, and I'm going to get them when they come out because they're cool.
Yeah, I'm very, very keen for those. They look amazing. I'm very, very down for that.
A little bit of a look through all my Lego that I've got, and I was like, I have a problem. I mean, no. Where's that going to go?
Yes. So my show and tell this week, though I'm not showing or telling, I'm just telling, is Star Trek Prodigy. So I've mentioned it before, but it has I've just finished season two, which so it started on Paramount Plus. And then Paramount unceremoniously dumped all of its Star Trek stuff, even though they announced to the world that they were the home of Star Trek.
Wow.
Wait, so where's like the next season of Strange New Worlds going to be?
Still on Paramount Plus. I think that's the last thing that they've got. That
Great. So I have to fucking keep that extra bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Or do what everybody else is doing and sail the seas.
My parents don't know how to torrent.
Oh, no.
Always get physical media. Always get physical media. Always get physical media because companies will fuck you up. Sorry.
So, yeah, they basically cancelled it after the first season on Paramount Plus, and then Netflix bought it and gave them the money to finish season two. And, yeah, I finished it this week, and it's so fucking entertaining. Like it's, once again, it's a kid show, very obviously intended. Like it's a kid's animated series, but set in the Star Trek universe. But by the time you get to the end of season two, it is so the last season of Voyager.
Ooh.
Like, yeah, this is the thing that I wasn't expecting. So it's a group of five kids who find a prototype starship accidentally. And like they've literally escaped convicts. They find this thing, and the hologram that runs it is Janeway. And so so she's their kind of guiding thing throughout the whole first season. The first season kind of builds to a pretty good fucking ending where like the entirety of the Federation is in deep shit because of this ship. With thousands of ships rocking up and big battles and stuff. And I was like, fuck yeah, this is good. Season two is basically Star Trek Picard, season three, but for Voyager. Mm. So it's the Doctor, it's Chakotay, it's two versions of Janeway going on time travel adventures and all sorts of stuff. And even a little bit of Wesley Crusher in there as well.
Oh, and also, so have they got the actors in as the voice cast?
Yeah, it's the original voice cast all the way through.
Amazing.
And also,
I have to get onto that.
Dee Bradley Baker continuing to be across every single franchise, no matter what happens.
John Noble is the main bad guy, and he's pretty fucking good. But yeah, it's really good. Like, and there's, you know, it starts off kid friendly, but end of season one, all through season two is fucking good Trek. And I was like, give it a watch. Like, I really want to encourage people, go and seek it out because it's all sitting on Netflix now. Both seasons.
Isn't the Orville next season coming out soon or in production?
Yes.
That's well, good
Trek. Rumored anyway.
Sure. Or maybe someone just dropping a rumor hoping that it will get picked up because there's rumors of it now.
Well, Scott Grimes apparently said something on stage during a band gig saying that they go into production on the new season in January.
Right.
And everyone's like, yeah, good, excellent. So whether that's him just talking shit, we don't know.
Who knows? Oh, you heard it here first.
Yes, totally. I'm not repeating shit that I've seen on three other websites at all.
Obviously, it's verified. You saw it on three other websites, or maybe one, or maybe you looked at it on Twitter. Twitter's verified. It had a blue check.
I just want to say.
I mean, sorry. I don't mean to dead name Twitter. X.
Nobody calls it X.
Yeah. No, in fact, I participated in the Exodus. I have deleted my Twitter, finally.
Hey. Nice.
Oh, shit. Isn't the Periodic Table of Awesome on Twitter, though?
It is, and I haven't deleted that part.
Oh, okay, cool, because you were doing that, buddy, and I'm like, I have never tipped my toe into this.
Yeah, unfortunately, that means that I still have to keep it on my phone. Unless you're more than happy for me to get rid of the TPTOA.
We'll take a vote. Should we? Yeah, the audience may decide. Should we get rid of Twitter and move to somewhere else?
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure we already kind of post on Threads because our Instagram is somehow linked to it. I don't fucking know.
We should probably look at that.
Yeah. Maybe.
Or anyone can send us an email at info@thepretty.com.
Send us a telegram.
Yeah, send us a scratch recording on a piece of vinyl. Or
yeah, yeah. Or what most people do is call our fax line.
Oh my God. Do you ever remember the days of like the fax going off and like nothing would come through and you'd have to pick up the handset just like, you're dialing the fax. It's not the phones. It's the fax.
Fuck.
Fax. And then you hang up and then they try to call back because it didn't connect. And it's like, you're calling the fax number. That's how old I am, children.
Yeah. And yet still didn't see like Time it. Bandits. Come on. It's spring chicken.
I'm a woman out of time.
Perfect. All right.
And I guess that sort of pretty much leaves us to almost a woman out of time as well.
Yeah. You're a woman out of time,
Was there anything else you wanted to talk about, Dion? Did you have anything else you wanted to talk to
tighten up my cardigan and go and have a cup of tea and then have a nice lie down. Maybe a Bex and a good lie down. It's late.
I had to explain to somebody what a Bex was the other day and I was like, oh, God, why do I know that?
Yeah, tea, coffee, Bonox?
Hot Bonox.
Hot Bovril, thanks.
That's my stripper name.
Hot Bovril.
I feel
that'll be my drag name, Hot Bonox.
Now I want to open up a nightclub called the Hot Bonox, and then it's just a bunch of people sitting down going, can you turn the music down? Like, here's your comfy shawl to put on and a cup of tea, and then... and just medication.
It's too loud, you're too comfortable, and we'll turn it down for you.
Just over-the-counter medication you get, you can just like, oh, I might have 2 ibuprofen and a paracetamol, and maybe a laxative for good effect. There we go.
Sorry, I shout out to Elska Norga. Of course, it's Horlicks. Not spelt that way.
Can you please spell Horlicks with a W, though?
Exactly.
Yes. No, I think that's perfect. Yeah, we're gonna have the old nightclub. I think it's just called a retirement village these days. Funny enough, they offer Horlicks too. Anyway, now that we've derailed all of this stuff, what is it? Lord of the Rings the Musical is opening?
Wow.
Really? Okay.
Interesting. I wonder how many hours that is.
Dear, I look forward
You sound like you've amused yourself there, Dion. Yeah,
I just look forward to seeing the like industrial techno orc songs come out singing about menus. I don't know.
Meat's back on the menu,
yeah,
boys.
Yeah, meat's back on the menu, boys. Okay. Speaking of that, Rings of Power season 2 out soon. You can watch it with ads. Thanks to Amazon Prime.
Oh, fuck. No.
Reminded us of the ads again.
I do like that they've been smart this year and going, let's not compete directly with House of the Dragon. Like, in their first season, they were like, well, you could either watch House of the Dragon or Rings of Power, depending on the night. They've gone, let's give it a bit of space.
I had a little sigh when I realized that they're doing another... like Game of Thrones prequel set between House of the Dragon and Game of Thrones. And I'm like,
Fucking
Can
hell.
We just not? We had 8 years of it, and now we've got probably another 8 years of this fucking thing, and then they will have another 8 years. Really worn
off. No. Apparently, they're getting only 4 seasons of House of the Dragon and then done. So the next season will be the end of it.
I don't care. It's the same intro music. That's the thing. I think that's the thing that shut me about House of the Dragon, which was like, oh, it's the exact same fucking music from the start.
Yep.
It's like, what? Jesus.
Yeah. And this season has also just wrapped up. The last episode has aired 2 nights ago or something like that. And so we've now got another, if you were watching it, you've got another couple of years to go until the next one.
I love that we're just getting more and more Game of Thrones, and as Adsky has pointed out in the chat, and just he hasn't finished writing the book yet.
Yep.
Like, for fuck's sake. Everyone, like, how would you do that? It's like, here's a book series and the TV show finished, so you know the ending. And so people are like, oh, can I have a book
now? Now I don't have to read the book, do I?
No.
Even if it is better. And of course he's been writing Elden Ring in the interim.
Has he though, or is someone attached their name? Is someone attached his name to the Elden Ring?
Writing it or playing it?
No, writing it.
He apparently wrote the story world Bible for the Elden Ring, and it's like cool, but I reckon he didn't. I reckon he came up with some loose outlines, and that's been filled in. Sitting in a room, awful going, lot of ghost do this and do that, there. And then do this, and then this is why, and then that's it. Go write that. And it's like, okay, great.
Okay. Right, there you go. You were right. He's not really a writer. He's just a consultant.
You mean they can attach a name to it? Great.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, Quinny, you're the ultimate being. You're in control of the show. You are the one who has to take us out.
We do indeed. Look, thank you so much for joining us. We're trying something a little bit different this month. We're going to just see what happens. If you like different formats or different ways of doing things where we don't necessarily do spoilers or whatever, let us know. Send us an email or a vinyl or whatever.
Yeah. Next week.
We'll don't.
Yeah. We'll stay. Come back next Wednesday for Alien
Remus and Romulus. Remus. And the beginning of Rome.
Yeah, Alien Rimmer.
Thank you, everybody. We love you all, and we'll see you next week. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.